Hope you're liking our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. I'd like you to become our Employee of the Month. I'll even hook you up with a $100 Visa gift card for being the Office Horror Stories Employee of the Month. Huh? That beats any parking spot or having your name on a crappy little plaque down a hall that nobody walks through, huh? For your chance to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month, all you have to do is give us a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Then, shoot me an email with a screenshot. It's that easy. You're entered to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month. So, go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, leave your review of Office Horror Stories, then email that to me. Send it to Tony at OfficeHorrorStories.com, T-O-N-Y, at OfficeHorrorStories.com, and you're entered. Once a month, we'll pick a brand new Employee of the Month, give them a $100 Visa gift card, and you, by leaving that review, help spread the word that this show exists. As many employers like to say, it's a win-win, huh? Leave that review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, send me the proof, and you are entered. Go ahead, go get it done right now. Thank you for the support, and we'll let you know. What do you do when you're having difficulty speaking and everyone thinks the innocent phrase you're trying to communicate is explicit and vile? Today we hear of one such workplace nightmare that most will never, ever forget.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at OfficeHorrorStories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
That it is. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number. Right on the website, OfficeHorrorStories.com. And please do press subscribe on whatever platform it is you listen to us on, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, you name it. Pressing subscribe helps us grow in those rankings, lets other folks know that we exist, and helps this show exist in general. So please do that, and thank you in advance. Leave a review, too, if you feel so inclined. Takes a couple seconds, and it's amazing how far that goes. So thank you for that. And by the way, when you do leave a review right now, then you email me a screenshot of that. Send it to Tony at OfficeHorrorStories.com, T-O-N-Y at OfficeHorrorStories.com. You're in the drawing for a $100 Visa gift card. Every month we're giving one away through the through 2020. So if you want to be the Employee of the Month, And get that, there's your mic, and get that Visa gift card, get it in the drawing for that, sign up to get it, simply leave us a screenshot of the review that you left on Apple Podcasts, and you're in the drawing. New winner every single month. We'll be drawing one soon, and we'll even call them on the air.
Okay.
You won't have to say what story you left or anything like that. You don't have to leave a story, just leave a review. And we'll get you somebody hooked up with that once a month. So it's better than a shitty parking spot or a name on a plaque that's like down a hall that no one
picture hung in the lounge.
I never wanted to be an employee. I don't think I ever was. I really do. I'm trying to think back. One station I had did that, and I think that I don't think I ever got the title of. This is kind of a shitty employee, I guess.
I never worked anywhere that they did Employee of the Month.
It seemed to me it was always, I don't know, it always went to somebody who didn't deserve it in a lot of cases. And that's not the case in every workplace. But it seemed the place that I did do it, it was always like, well, that person's kind of on the edge. We should probably give them a little morale boost so they don't come in here and, do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It just went to like, there's so many times there's like this one vile person I worked with and she was just a horrible human being and just rude, lied. I mean, no one loved the person when they left. It was like, hooray. But I think she got it like two or three times.
Really?
And it's like, why the fuck are you doing? I mean, it's like, I know it's like designed as like a morale booster.
Mm-hmm.
All it does is piss off 99.9% of your staff. And then the one person who gets it is just a shitty individual. It's not going to change. It's not going to make them not a horrible person. It's like, oh, I got this award and this parking spot. Now I'm not going to be a bitch to everybody. That's not how it works.
Well, I would love to see the stats on if employee of the month programs truly improved the workplace.
I was talking with Carol about this the other day on an episode. And I was saying, I wonder if employee of the month, just your status quo employee of the month programs have to be changed as new generations come into the workforce, as you have a millennial, you have the one after that, I don't know what it's called, entering the workforce. The generations that had essentially the participation awards.
Yeah.
If they can even handle the concept of employee of the month. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, why didn't I get that? You know, I'm not bitching because I didn't get it. I just think it was ineffectively run.
You know, I think there's a lot of versions of that in the workplace now. Like, I worked a place where they had salesperson of the month. Mm-hmm. So if you worked behind the scenes, you know, you were the one getting the shit for the salesperson to the customer. You got no love. Nobody cared about you.
No.
It didn't matter if you had literally called the semi driver to see when the truck's going to be there with the shipment.
Yeah.
None of that shit mattered.
No.
So it was just whoever made the most money. And I get it. You had to have sales to make the company run. But you also have the people behind the scenes that need to get the stuff and need to know how to do that to make the customers happy.
Well, it's just it's an antiquated system. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way that a lot of it's run, where it's like everybody's in the pool for this. It's like, well, how about by department or something where it's like you're not competing? I mean, and how about the actual incentives aren't an insult?
Yeah.
You know, that's I think to me was always kind of one of the joke things of employee of the month or bonus. It's like, who fucking cares? Like some of it was like, you got a $20 Applebee's gift card. Uh-huh. It's like, I'm so glad I put in the extra weekend or four and went above and beyond and did all this for that extra, you know, chicken wing appetizer. That's really fucking worth. It's like, thank you. So it's like you're better off. I think so many times employers do the, here's the bonus that we care about you. And it's they'd be better off not doing shit. They'd be better off just saying, thank you, we really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Versus giving an antiquated gift that's borderline an insult.
I would rather just have the thank you from who it, you know, from somebody that it mattered that it came from that person.
Yeah.
Versus here's the whole embarrassing pony show.
Yeah. It seems to me a lot of those gifts, you know, the we care about you things are so out of touch. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, do you really think, you know, Mr. Like everybody's driving like Geo Metros, and then like the manager's like in the top line Mercedes. It's like, do you really think that you know, two leg and thigh chicken dinner that you just gave me is like changing my day? Mm-hmm. And the look of I'm so proud of them, and they're really going to appreciate this.
No. Just,
it's like, no, this is a fucking insult. Mm-hmm. anyway. We do generally appreciate our employee of the month.
I'm always employee of the month, right?
Yes, you are. Except I don't give you a parking spot or anything else anymore.
That's okay.
But there you go. That's how it works here. But a $100 gift card for leaving a review. I think that's a good
payoff.
Just and you get a show every single week. Get a chance to do that. We do appreciate that. 833-HATE-JOB is our number, 833-HATE-JOB. Let's go to our first story. It says, so I worked for a bank that's owned by a brother and sister. They're both older people, but close in age. I'd say somewhere in their 60s. The sister is a money-hungry bitch, and the brother is very nice and laid back. The sister loves to have her hands on everything and pushes everyone around. One day towards the end of the day, they were both in a meeting with a couple other employees. The tension between the two had been stirring up a lot lately. But like I said, the brother is very laid back and can take a lot from people without getting mad. I'm not sure what was all said that day, but the brother had reached his limit with his sister's mess. He stands up, walks over to her, and punches her square in the face, breaking her nose and jaw in front of everyone. It was a madhouse after that. He just turns and walks out of the office while everyone else is running frantically around the bank. She's lying there in a pool of blood crying. I know this may sound horrible, but it was the best day of my life. She deserved it 100%. Don't get me wrong, I never think it's okay for a man to hit a woman, but if you had a sister like this one, you would totally understand. She's the worst person ever. So after that, she ends up missing a lot of work because she doesn't want to be seen with a black and blue face. She ends up suing him. He gets arrested while at work, and he loses shares of the bank, and she takes completely over. It's totally hell after that. So I eventually get fed up with working for her and I find another job. She was a complete ass to me in my last day. So a couple of weeks after I quit, I send her an anonymous dicks by mail package. If you do not know what that is, it's a thing where you can order a box full of penis confetti and it bursts all over the room after opening with a hateful message inside. They do not put a sender or name on there, so the person has no way of knowing where or who it came from. If only I could have been a fly on the wall to watch her open that package. This story may make me sound horrible, but you literally would know why I hate her if you ever met her. One more thing to add, another lady that worked there was always kissing the sister's ass, but everyone hated also. Said on that after every sentence that she always was a speaker at meetings and events. It's very annoying. So glad to be away from there finally. Thank you for reading my story on the air.
That's hilarious that a company like that exists.
It's not an endorsement. It's not an advertisement. It's just in the story. I didn't know that was even in there, but that's interesting.
That's fun.
I know there's, I've seen online companies that do like poop by mail.
Okay.
Where you can order various, and I think like there's options of, and yes, because I looked into it. I've never sent it, but I... Because I get angry.
Okay.
Because I get frustrated. And I mean, I've never done anything vengeful to anybody ever. Uh-huh. Like, I really haven't. This maybe sounds like a wuss, but I've never been like in a fight, like a physical altercation. I've never, I don't know. I've called somebody Hitler once when I quit a job.
Okay.
Or got fired from a job. The one time I ever got fired. But, that, I think, was the worst I've done. I just, you know, because he was horrible. He was a horrible boss. But I've never done like the, and now I'm going to get super revenge. The shit runs through my mind and I like to go and see what's out there, especially today in today's, you know, world of what exists. But I've had some horrible clients that have just been really, really shitty in the world of making radio and TV ads. And I've never done anything, but I've looked like, what's out there? And there's options of like, you can send dog shit, cat shit. I believe even human shit's an option.
Oh, wow.
And it's just like the dick by mail thing where it's, you know, it's an unmarked box. And I would think that, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that's even legal. Mm-hmm. Technically. I mean, I would think that if somebody really wanted to investigate that, you could, if you had the money.
I would be nervous to send anything by mail.
Yeah.
Unless it's like couriered over and it's not through the mail service. Yeah,
I would think it might border on like federal offense.
Yeah,
of some sort, or this today terrorism. Mm-hmm. You know, sending anything like that. So I certainly wouldn't endorse that. But I from what I can tell, these services exist. Who knows if they work? But
I'm assuming they know the laws in their area.
I guess so. Wouldn't that be a fun one at like a city council meeting where there's just a horrible workplace and the boss just keeps getting shit by mail and dicks by mail and all sorts of shit by mail that the city council like has to go and like have a vote on. We're in our county. It's now a crime to send this by mail. And that has to be brought up like right next to like the school board issues.
That's great.
Like, we're going to add pretzel sticks to the menu next week at the cafeteria at the local elementary. And oh, yeah, no more penises in the mail. Like, that might be an odd one to have to go through in the meeting. 833-HATE-JOB is our number. 833-HATE-JOB or write in at officehorrorstories.com. Anonymously share your office horror stories with us. If you haven't done so yet, please press subscribe on the platform that you're currently listening to us on. Let's go to our next story. It says, I work in education. If I'd begin by saying drunken, thoughtless, destitute, brainless, immoral freak, every dean, chancellor, or university president would self-identify and join their cases to sue me by some famous New York City celebrity attorney. So I'll keep this about a personal work hell I created all by myself. I had a bad back for about 30 years. My spine disintegrated at about 28 years of age. I'm 65 now. And I backdoored my way into teaching. I was in constant agony, but it was far better than shoveling cement. As the years went on, the pain became worse, and after my fourth surgery, I found relief. However, between my third and fourth surgery, it was getting particularly bad. I was pushing desks together on which to lie to answer questions after class. Though a friend of a friend, or through a friend of a friend of a friend, an ex-wife, I got in contact the third to foremost back surgeon on the planet. I had to fly back to University Hospital in Madison, Wisconsin to see him. After the initial exam, he brought in the MRIs to view and discuss with me. You have what is called big disc disease. It's caused by an old injury. Blood quits flowing to that area of your spine and the disc looks gray. So in the MRI, so see, I asked for the remedy and he told me there wasn't any. After my whining, he suggested a drug that I take. It was a big derivative from a big pharma that had not yet been discovered as being poison. I begged for it. He told me it's non-narcotic and the only known side effect if it makes your mouth dry. I know from experience that dry mouth is easily handled by a bag of chips. So I flew back home, my first class of the fresh new year, beginning 2 days later. I brought the pills and began taking them the evening before my first class. For 2 weeks before the beginning of the term, the students could check into the dorms and acclimate themselves to a new lifestyle. This means drinking for 2 weeks and throwing up on each other. My first class was at 7 a.m. I was in my office early preparing for the day. When I strode into class at 7:01 a.m., I was ready. I'd taken my pills and carried a large plastic cup full of ice water. It was a terrible room, bowling alley style. It was narrow, went on seemingly forever. My roster included 48 kids. As I walked up the center of the narrow room, I could smell exactly what the kids away from home for the first time had been doing. Weed, vomit, cigarettes, poop, vomit, beer, weed, more poop, more vomit, etc. I formally introduced myself. My name is Professor So-and-so. I'll be teaching this. Since this is the first class and the first day of your college career, I'll be teaching you more than the subject of this class. I'll be teaching you self-reliance, independence, how to study, how to discipline yourself. But first, I want to apologize. I'll be sipping from this water cup because I have a very dry mouth from taking a non-narcotic drug for a very painful condition. The kids are staring down at their desks so hungover they can't focus without vomiting. The smell created this vortex of sick that hung in the room and surrounded all of us. Now imagine the high-pitched voice of an innocent 18-year-old girl in the first row, absolutely determined to connect with her first professor and make a good impression. What is your painful condition, Professor So-and-so? Well, I say, I have what's called big disc disease. Except because my mouth was dry, I didn't say disc. I clearly told 45 supremely hungover 18-year-olds I had big dick disease. To make it worse, I began yelling, "No, no, no, disc, disc." The hungover mob perked up, looked at me once through their beady little bloodshot eyes, and started laughing. They laughed for about 35 minutes. As it died down, a big kid in the back said, "Hey, man, don't worry about it, Professor. I got that same damn thing." The laughter for another 30 minutes, and I dismissed the class. For the next 4 years, I had kids from that class meeting me in the hall somewhere and asking about my condition.
That's awesome. At least they had a good sense of humor about it.
Yeah, and they didn't get fired, and it was very much, here's what happened. Wow. Well, there's another side effect of the drug.
Mm-hmm.
The dry mouth really did that. Wow. Have you ever taken anything that made you say anything incorrectly or crazy or
not that I can think of? No,
I can't think of anything.
No,
when you had your LASIK done years ago, they gave you some fun stuff.
They gave me, what was it? Did they give me a Valium before?
I don't remember.
They gave me something to make me not freak out with the fact that they're operating on your eye when your eyes are open and you're completely aware.
And then that shit wore off.
I think it interacted with some other stuff, and it made me like emotional, kind of scared and all kinds of stuff.
I'd be freaking out too.
Well, I wasn't freaking out during the surgeries after we got home. Yeah. I like freaked out.
That would be the scary part because I know it takes a little time for your eyes to adjust and all that, but I wouldn't handle that well. I wouldn't.
Is it Valium or Vicodin or something?
I don't know. Skittles?
No, it was definitely something that alters your mind.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say you were like, saying anything crazy, but you were, I know you were scared. I mean, and you would be, cause it's like, holy shit, you can't quite see. And you just had this eye thing. And I know cause there is there's a risk involved with anything. Mm-hmm. And I would be on that path of, it's like 0.00 whatever percent.
Yeah.
I'd be afraid that was me.
And see, I have no memory of getting home after that.
You hitched a ride.
No, but all I can remember is later in the day freaking out.
Mm-hmm. That's when you bit me. I still have the bite mark.
I did not bite you. That did not happen.
No, but it wore off. And then how long after that did it take for you to be able to, for it to like work? Was it quick?
For LASIK to work?
Yeah.
It was the next day.
Really? It was that fast for like the blurriness to go away and everything?
There was still a little blurriness, but I could pretty well see. My depth perception was off, but that was the first time in, 25 years I could go without contacts or glasses.
It was kind of fun because you're like, look, leaves.
I know.
Leaves are moving. Like, yeah, honey, they do that every day.
I know.
It's really exciting. Squirrel. There's squirrels. What's that? What's that little furry thing? It was shortly after that that you saw a vicious badger, I believe,
And now I know it was a woodchuck.
I don't have office horror stories anymore. I just have
Jenny stories.
Living with you stories.
Yeah.
Where it was, you took Harper to a playground.
Mm-hmm. And we had just moved to Branson.
Yeah.
And there's critters there I hadn't dealt with before.
It's in the forest. Mm-hmm. And there was like a little gazebo type thing that you could sit in by the playground. And I get a text from you. I don't know where I was, but I get a text like, OMG, there's a vicious badger at the playground. And I'm like, a vicious, and I didn't know. So I'm like thinking, holy shit. I mean, I know there's like new animals in this forest, but I guess badgers could be a thing. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Wisconsin, which is like, it's a state animal.
Yeah.
I'd never seen one other than stuffed. And okay. And so, then we were like, think later that day driving somewhere, like, that's it. There was another one on the side of the road. I'm like, that's a fucking woodchuck.
Okay.
It's like Groundhog Day.
So I was at the playground with my 3-year-old and under this gazebo was this little furry creature that kept wanting to come out and like get close to Harper. It kept wanting to come up to her. And, I was like having to shoo it away. And eventually we left. I didn't know if it was going to bite her, but now looking back, I think it was tame because people were feeding it.
Yeah. I mean, you don't necessarily want to go up and pet a woodchuck. I mean, anything like that, it could easily snap at you and who knows if it has a disease or something, but they're basically large squirrels.
Yeah.
And if it's not diseased, it's just a big squirrel. I mean, they're just fat, tubby little animals that don't do much. There was one I did run into one that I think was diseased and maybe had rabies or something. And I actually did see that later. And it was not too far from where you had the vicious badger incident. It was because there was a golf course down there and I was on a golf cart trying to cross the bridge and it just sat there. Mm-hmm. It refused to move. It's like run me over. I don't know if it was suicidal and it's like maybe this asshole just ended for me and run me over. Mm-hmm. And I'm not gonna run over the woodchuck. And I'm also afraid it's like gonna suddenly jump up and jump onto the cart with me.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be like Caddyshack. So eventually I stand off to the side and I'm just kind of chucking pebbles on, not at it, but near it. So it kind of try to scare it, get off the thing so I could go over the bridge. And eventually it kind of like stumbles its way out of there. He wasn't like bleeding or anything. He was drunk or rabies. Mm-hmm. And he eventually kind of walks away and gets off the bridge.
And I just saw him really acting strange. So I don't know. Maybe he had a really rough night the night before.
It could be.
But I don't know. It might have been the same one. But he was just really, it was insanely laid back.
Well, this one was not laid back. He kept wanting to come up and like, he didn't care about me, but he wanted to go play with Harper. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, you're not going to do that.
You're not going to play with my child,
no.
Little woodchuck. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he was on meth or something.
Could
be.
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible in Branson. 833-HATE-JOB is our number, or write in at officehorrorstories.com. Next letter. Today says, I worked for a fairly nice hotel in my area as a valet, Parker Bellman. My fiance at the time had sickle cell anemia and occasionally would get attacks that required a hospital trip. Three of my four managers were cool with this. One was a complete dick. So naturally, I'd been there like 8 months, several guest accommodations, a raise for good service, and she was an attack-minded shift with a dick boss there. She needed to go to the hospital, nobody to take her but me, so I go tell my boss what's happening and that I need somebody to cover for me. He says, there is nobody, and she can wait till the end of my shift. All the guests' car keys are kept in a locked wooden box that's there. No one set of keys to open it. One guy guards the keys. One guy parks the cars. I apologize to the car parker, explain the situation, give him all my tip share for the day, and explain he's about to get royally fucked. I then lock the guest key box, take the key off the company ring, and take it with me when I go take her to the hospital. Nobody can leave. Nobody can drop off their cars. Huge clusterfuck. Coworker calls me later and tells me that guests were furious. Manager ended up having to comp rooms for them, and it took 4 hours to break into the key box. Wow. So that's someone who caused the problem.
So was that just out of anger?
I don't know if it was out of anger or if it was like he was the only one who was authorized to use the key box.
Oh, okay.
And then if you know, because someone else could then get in there and get these vehicle keys. It's not clear, but they were clearly the source of the problem.
Okay. Because I was afraid I was missing something that I was like, it was just, you know, I'm mad, so I'm going to do this.
It's interesting because we don't often get stories from the perpetrator.
That's fine.
Of the office. It's something I was talking about the other day where I was like, you know, I would just love to sit down with one of these psychotic people.
Not that this person's psychotic.
No, but no. I was saying the other day, some of the people I've worked with that were somewhat psychotic, that would just, you know, lie pathologically, to get other people in trouble and mm-hmm. things like that. And just go, really? I mean, I'm not mad anymore. I don't care. It's all water under the bridge, but clearly these are the things you did. What were you thinking? What was the goal? What was the mindset? What caused you to act this way?
Mm-hmm.
I want to know the psychology behind it. Tell me how a serial killer thinks before you start serial killing people. Because that's kind of how I think. I think they're cut from the same cloth.
Okay.
Half the time. Where it's like, you know, one's doing, you know, not serial killer shit. But, you know, if they decided to, I don't think it'd be that far from a bridge too far. Mm-hmm. Like, well, might as well. Why not? I can get away with it. Because some of the shit that the people do, they'll just do until they are forced to stop,
mm-hmm.
until they are removed from whatever the situation is. And a lot of times that just goes on forever. So I would just love to know. I mean, I think it would be very similar to like the Dateline exposés where they sit down with the serial killer and go, so why did you do it?
Yeah.
I think you'd have a very similar reaction, very matter of fact, just very, you know, non-apologetic. Just, mm-hmm. yeah, here's what you do. Here's how you do it. Here's the recipe. It's just like you're making chicken noodle soup. Add a little garlic and then you're, you know, that's what you do. And I don't know. I think it's, you almost have this expectation that it's going to be far darker and worse than it actually is. Meaning the actions are dark and bad, but the remorse and all that just isn't there. Then you walk away even more frustrated because you don't get the, you know, what you were expecting. 833-HATE-JOB is our number at Office Horror Stories to share your office horror stories. Let's get a call. Hi.
So, I used to work, well, I've had a lot of different jobs, but I used to work at a dispensary in Vancouver, BC. Anyways, so the owner thought that he was able to grow, apparently, and certain strains would be on the shelves that just weren't very good and definitely overpriced for what they were. But we wanted to help out the public, and I thought it was really good that we would always have a $5 strain, because there were people out there that did use medicinal marijuana, and it really helped them. So we had a $5 strain on the shelf every single time. However, I think about 4 months into me working there, I noticed that we would be pulling out just an excruciating amount of bud rot and mold. And when I actually asked to wear a respirator, because everyone, I was coming home with sinus pain, and it would just last forever and ever and ever, and I could just never get rid of it. So anyways, my manager actually refused for me to wear a mask because there wasn't a private place to sort through it. We were actually doing it in front of the customer. So if I was wearing a mask, people would question and then it would look sketchy. So they told me I just wasn't allowed to touch it at all, which actually led to my coworkers being very, very angry with me because they had to deal with it twice as much. So you're looking at like anywhere between 70 and 100 grams a day of doing this. And you had to get really, really in there because you didn't want it to go on the shelves. And a lot of customers would actually come back and they would tell me that they're getting headaches from the $5 strain that we were selling it for so long, to like months on end. We were just calling it the Black Death at some point. So it got to the point where I had to actually, I quit over a lot of reasons, but I was trying to also secretly tell customers, even when my manager was in the store, they were like, oh, is the $5 strain good? And I would say one thing, but I was trying to do certain things that wouldn't register on camera, like, please don't buy this. But at one point, my manager was out of the store, and I gave this guy the rundown because he actually was diagnosed with cancer. And I was like, you have to stop buying this. I was like, please. I was begging customers, and I was like, and if you see anyone else who's a regular at the store, please tell them never, never, never to buy this strain. It was so bad, and I actually called, after I quit, I called health services, and they did an investigation. I gave them the full rundown. They gave me a report. I'm not really sure what happened. I do know that the store is not open today, so I'm sure they've done a lot more things that are, I mean, Vancouver is wonky. Whatever they did it wrong. Thank God. Anyways, that's my little office horror story. Thanks for listening, I guess.
There you go. Essentially kind of putting expired or not satisfactory product on the shelves, which can be implied, obviously here we're talking about weed, but it could be anything.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh God. Mm-hmm. Used to be that way at certain stores with like produce. I mean, there was one store, which is, you know, it's a big store. And now it's actually good where that changed. But it was like, you just don't buy your produce there.
Yeah.
You start to look at it, you're like, oh, holy shit. I had an experience at this place years ago where I was checking out. And there was a big thing of strawberries up in the produce area. And I saw somebody knocked over one of the cartons on the floor where everybody's walking. And the manager of web department, somebody, an employee, I don't know, whatever. They were over there and they were picking, you know, they grabbed the carton. They're picking them all back up, putting them into the carton.
And you assume it's to throw them away.
You're hoping. I'm not assuming anything yet, because at this location, and you just didn't quite know. There wasn't the best judgment at play. And it wasn't a reflection really of the store as a whole, but just the location. I'm just like watching this, you know, what's going to happen. They finish picking him up and they stand up and they put the carton right back on the stack. Ew. Of all the other cartons. And I walked over right as they were doing it, and I said, seriously? And they're like, you know, like kind of like, oh, somebody noticed. Uh-huh. They didn't even do like that look around. Like, is anybody watching me? Other than like the 30 security cameras mm-hmm. in the ceiling. And they're like, what? I said, you just picked those all up off the floor. Like, you're right. And then they walked away. And who knows? I left and they probably just went and put them right back. Ugh. You know, who knows? But that's what's like, okay, this is why we wash produce.
Yeah.
This is why we, you know, after that, it's like, I didn't even know like washing is a, you know, mm-mm. Let me do an exorcism over it too and see what, it's scary. And what's scary about some of that stuff is, you know, you have all the horrible shit that goes on where it seems most of the recalls are on things that are healthy for you. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, this lettuce is bad. All this is bad. And you got shit like that that goes on. And, you know, oh, it's E. coli. Well, could that have come from, you know, a situation like that and not necessarily the manufacturer?
I think they have to have more than one.
Do they?
Confirmed case before they issue a recall.
They can say this is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's probably a good, just to make sure.
Well, yeah, because I mean, otherwise, how do you know what it even is? If you have one person with E. coli, it could be anything they ate anywhere. Yeah. But if you have two people, then they can kind of narrow down what did you both eat?
Yeah. I think the biggest one that I can think of like that where, in my memory, and maybe I'm off on this, but it was just in one location and it ended up destroying the place. Chi-Chi's.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the green onion incident? Mm-hmm. It was like 2002.
Yeah.
2003-ish. And one person died after something was wrong with the green onions. I don't know what it was contaminated mm-hmm. with. But it had such an impact that like suddenly all the Chi-Chi's shuttered.
Now, is it really that or was there other stuff going on?
That's what I wonder. I mean, it seems very bizarre that one location has that happen and then suddenly everything closes.
I mean, they might have been a dying restaurant anyway. And then that was just like the last straw.
I don't know. I mean, you'd almost think it would have to be because it was bizarre that suddenly everything shut down after that one incident. That'd be an interesting thing to investigate. Chi-Chi's, the E! True Hollywood Story. Something like that. And you have the guy, Chi-Chi's was a delicious restaurant. They had guacamole, chips, and you can still buy the chips at Menards. You know, mm-hmm. So and then they go in and I don't know. I wonder what the whole story is on that. What I enjoy now is seeing remnants of restaurants that don't exist anymore. And like, what do they look like today? Every once in a while, you'll find a Chi-Chi's that's now like a Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It's like, it's something else, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's kind of rotting and falling apart. And it's like, oh, I think I would have taken my chances with Chi-Chi's more than what it is today. I know Chi-Chi's exists in other countries.
Yeah.
Outside of the U.S. still, but did you like the Chi-Chi's?
I did. Went there a lot in the early 90s.
Fried ice cream?
Never had that.
The first time I had it was there. I was like, this is amazing. My dad liked Chi-Chi's. Mm-hmm. It was like, it was at the time though, you know, I don't know. I mean, at the time there wasn't a lot of Mexican restaurants.
No.
At least in that part of Wisconsin.
Well, yeah, where you were.
Yeah, up north there really wasn't. Mm-hmm. At least that I remember. It was a chain. Mm-hmm. I mean, now there's a gazillion of them that are now probably better than what Chi-Chi's was. But it was like, when it was his birthday, where do you want to go? Chi-Chi's. We had to drive all the way to Appleton, which was, you know, 30, 40 miles away. But yeah, it was the themed decor that was kind of fun too. Mm-hmm. It's like, ooh, big, you know, it's like Olive Garden themes. Everybody has that theme. I think it was part of that chain. What, or that group, wasn't it?
Probably.
It's like Olive Garden, Chi-Chi's and Red Lobster were part of the thing. And cause you could use like your gift cards mm-hmm. anyway. That's okay. I get way too excited discussing the history of Chi-Chi's. Uh-huh. Anything else you want to, am I missing anything?
I'm good.
Okay. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Office Horror Stories. Maybe we'll get an office horror story from there of what, maybe we'll find out on this show. We're going to get to the bottom of what actually shut the place down completely.
Okay.
It will be groundbreaking, everyone. If you like the show, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, wherever you download podcasts, press subscribe, and do share your office horror story with us. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening.